Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to India Glycols Limited Q2 FY22 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjesh Jain from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Lizanne. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining with us on India Glycols Limited Q2 H1 FY22 results and conference call. We have India Glycols management, Mr. Sudhir Agarwal, Executive Director, Mr. Roopak Saraswat, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Anand Singhal, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Sanjeev Gurwara, President, Marketing, Mr. S.K. Shukla, Head, Liquor Business, Professor Dr. R.K. Khandan, President, R&D and Business Development, and Mr. Ankur Jain, Head, Legal and Company Secretary, India Glycols Limited. I would like to invite Mr. Roopak to initiate the proceeding with his opening remarks, post which we will have Q&A session. Over to you, Roopak.
Thank you, Sanjay. Thank you very much, and a very warm and good afternoon to everybody here who has joined. Thank you for joining this call, and I hope all of you are doing well. It is much better from a COVID perspective, and we all hope that it kind of remains that way. What I will do together with my colleagues is give you a brief overview of what we presented. Our apologies that you may not have had enough time to go through the presentation. We had a slight technical glitch, and there was some delay in the presentation getting uploaded. I'm told, though, it was available about 10 minutes ago on the exchanges as well. Coming to the performance of the quarter, it is important to note that in this quarter, we have undergone a transition, and that is that in this quarter, the EODs and the formulation business is no more reported as a part of IGL, but is reported as under the joint venture. So to that extent, the turnover and the numbers with respect to the EOD business for this quarter are not there, and it is important to kind of keep that context. Overall performance, if you see, our gross turnover is at 1,695 crores, which is up 10%. Our net turnover at 780 crores, which is up 7%. And as many of you already know, there's a big difference in the gross turnover and the net turnover for IGL. It is because there is a very heavy excise duty for the liquor business that we have, which is of the order of 600%-700%. The 75 crores, which is up 16%. The EBITDA margin is at 9.55%, and the PAT at 37 crore is up 40% for this quarter as reported. As I mentioned, in these numbers, it is without the EOD business being part of IGL, and considering that, you would see that this has been a very good comeback and a strong performance for the business in the second quarter. You would see that the margins are at 9.55%. Another point I would like to make is that whilst the EOD sales are no more part of IGL's reporting, one of the key raw materials or the key raw materials for the EOD business, which is ethylene oxide, is still supplied by IGL, and therefore that sales has come as a part of IGL sales. However, it is also important to note that we make relatively nominal margins on the transferred ethylene oxide. That is how the agreement is structured. So in order to see the real value of the chemicals business to us, you need to kind of in your mind add back the ethylene oxide EBITDA or profit to the business, which I have not done here. To that extent, the reported margins are somewhat suppressed, and you see the benefit coming more in terms of the PAT. And now looking at the performance for continued businesses, you will see that the gross turnover is up 24%. And the next turnover is up 39% at 780 crores. As I said, it is up 39% because now for the purpose of looking at continued businesses, we have removed EOD business from both the quarters, that is quarter for the last year as well as quarter for this year. And the PAT, of course, is at 37 crores, up 87%. Looking at the half-yearly performance, as you would have the slide, the gross turnover at 3561 crores is up 46%. The net turnover at 1644 crores is up 48%. EBITDA at 152 crores is up 5%. And the EBITDA margin at 9.87%. The PAT reported is 249 crores. Up 707%, but as you know, it is mainly because the PAT, that's such a huge jump in PAT is mainly because it also includes the slump sale profit that arose because of the JV formation. So all in all, a good two quarters and a good first half for our businesses, and I will talk a little bit about what has driven the performance. In terms of key highlights for the quarter, the joint venture with Clariant has been established successfully and very smoothly without any disruption to the business. Of course, there was a couple of weeks of you know, postponement for some orders, but really no loss of business or any major disruption, which is a very good thing. As we had updated you, we had sanctioned projects for putting up grain-based distillery projects in our Kashipur and Gorakhpur plants. Those projects are ongoing, and we expect the plants to be commissioned by March and April 2022, respectively. We are also happy to share, as you may know, that the company's long-term rating has been upgraded to A with a stable outlook. The performance for this quarter, actually to a large extent in the first half, has been led by an excellent performance by bio-based specialties and performance chemicals, both in terms of sales as well as EBITDA, as you would see. As has not been the surprise, you know, sharp escalation in feedstocks, freight prices, packaging and energy has been a bit of a dampener, and they have posed some headwinds, which have, you know, to some extent compressed our margins. But given all of that, I think it's a reasonably good performance that we have to report in this quarter. Let me spend a little bit of time explaining to you certain macro factors that have been impacting our industry. Now, these macro factors are not only important from the point of view of tactical planning and strategy, but even longer-term strategic actions that companies like us will take. So there are six factors which are important, which I will very quickly cover. The first three are more fundamental, and the next three are to some extent related or are also an outcome. Number one is the significant demand surge that the world saw in various parts, including India, the post, you know, post-pandemic, and the world was therefore not prepared in many ways, while it presented an opportunity. But you saw that there were issues with respect to supply chains getting disrupted, as well as supplies of coal, etc., which impacted us. There has also been visibly a number of areas where climatic changes are visible, which has impacted and will continue to impact several things. Now, for example, in India, in the central and eastern part of India, you saw probably the worst rains in the last 127 years, which impacted our coal situation and therefore the coal crisis in India. You may know that Europe actually has a significant renewable energy consumption, and a lot of that energy comes from wind and hydel energy, and both of these were pretty much low in their generation. So that also added up to the global energy crisis. You may also know that the same thing was happening in Latin America, where there's a lot of hydel energy, and there was a drought, and therefore that energy came down, which all is not only impacting our energy prices, but I am also talking about a driving factor for businesses, particularly the ones which have positioned themselves based on sustainable ingredients. And the other, of course, is the big push for sustainability and green transition. This has provided opportunities, but it has also created hiccups. So as you know, in India, there is a push for increased blending of ethanol in petrol. Similarly, other countries in the world are going through this transition, and sometimes it has been a choppy ride. where people have pushed in renewable resources, and you know, Germany, for example, has said that they would not go to nuclear energy, but we are probably not as ready to completely depend on renewable or sustainable energy. So that sustainable transition also created some hiccups. The impacted factors, of course, are the sharp rise in commodity prices, and as you can see, as we have seen, things that impact us. Steel prices, for example, were up nearly 40%, impacts our projects. Coal prices on a yearly basis, not average, over a period of 1 year, roughly went up by about 80%. Ethanol, which is a very important feedstock for us, the prices went up compared to November last year by roughly 60%. And acetic acid, for example, is roughly up 100%. So I think these are some of the factors which were impacting our business. But what is good to see that is we have been able to continue to grow our business and grow our EBITDA and profit lines as well. So that is a quick summary that I had. I will request my colleague Anandji to give you a quick recap on the financial summary.
On Q2 and half year 22 results is already there with all of you. And Rupakji has already covered the key highlights of the results. But just to give you the brief highlights and the impact on the profitability regions, the good demand, particularly in the bio-based specialty and performance chemical during this quarter as well as the half year, the impact of the increased feedstock, energy, freight and packing costs. In all these sectors, the cost has gone up, while the company has been able to reduce its financial finance cost due to the payment of the term loan and the reduction in the interest rates. So this is what is the key highlight. The results are already with you, so that's why I'm not covering the numbers. But if anybody has any specific question, then I will certainly take up. And regarding the cash flow, although we are generally not sharing, but this time we are sharing because there was some query on the negative cash flow. Just to update that we have received 451 crores from the bio EOD sale, out of which 302 has been paid for the term loan and the reduction of the fund based working capital limits, while the balance of 149 crores we have utilized for the payment of the LC creditors, which has been largely in the cash flow as the creditors payment. If we take that into consideration, then for the quarter or for the half year, the cash flow is positive by 146 crores. So just to brief on the cash flow, that's why we are covering this cash flow this time in the half year. Regarding the segmental reporting, segment-wise revenue, the 71% in the last year has come from the chemical, while in Q2 22, the revenue is 71% despite the EOD sale is not there in the second quarter, while in the half year, yes, there is some impact of the on the chemicals from 69% to 75%. Rest of the revenue generation from the other units is more or less same and not much impacted. So this is the revenue bifurcation. The segment reporting is already there with all of you. So that's why I'm not covering, except saying that all the sectors, all the segments of the company, the sale has gone up, while the profitability in the potable spirit segment and the nature biopharma segment has come down due to increased cost of the raw material and the utilities. Apart from this, if we cover...
There's a bit of commentary. Yeah, so I can just add a few comments on segmental performance just to let you know what the drivers have been. As you can see, once again, the bio-based specialty and performance chemicals has, you know, had the strongest comeback with in terms of revenue as well as EBITDA. And the potable spirit segment, it is actually very good to note the continued top-line growth. We all know that packaging and ethanol costs are up. We believe that this is somewhat a short-term phenomena, and we would see both margin recovery as well as cost or softening in due future. So that should hopefully be better. In terms of the key drivers, we had excellent sales in terms of glycol ethers in the States, which were driven by robust demand both for domestic and export markets. One of the factors being that the prices for butyl and propyl glycol ethers were high, and therefore we were also able to position the glycol ethers that we have to sell in this market. We also did take some action to do some internal debottlenecking so that we could sell some more of these more margin-generating products. The glycol sales have been kind of mixed. The good thing for us is that we continue to see traction for bio-MEG, particularly in the Southeast Asian markets like Japan and Taiwan. However, the bio-MEG sales to Coca-Cola has been sliding down, as we had mentioned to you earlier, and that is mainly because they have been trying to balance their carbon footprint portfolio by also adding the recycled PET. As far as the ENA or extra neutral alcohol sales are concerned, they were impacted adversely because last year we had a significant increase in ENA sales because of the sanitizers requirement. The Gohar Gum business for us has been good in terms of volume as well as value growth, and we continue to see some demand for oil field applications, and several projects are in progress in Middle East and other parts of the world. The gases business has also continued to grow. We had record production of oxygen. As you know, the gases business is kind of an bolt-on adjacent business to us. It is because we produce it as a part of the process. So it's relatively small. But the thing is that the government has capped the prices for medical oxygen since August 20. So the kind of realization that you would have otherwise had was not exactly seen. Just a little bit of commentary on the portable spirits business. In terms of IMFL, there is a change in the excise policy in Delhi, which we think will help us to continue to grow our business. We see good demand for some of our products like Amazing Premium Vodka, Soulmate Whiskey, and we expect that this segment will continue to do well and deliver good growth for the year. However, as I've mentioned, we've concentrated and made sure that we continue to get the top-line growth, but margins have been under pressure. As I mentioned, the ethanol prices and costs, for example, are up as high as 60%. On the branded country liquor segment, we got a good increase in volume. Again, margin pressures have kept our dampened or brought our EBITDA down though, but that's also something that takes time, both in terms of cost readjustment and also getting price increases in this segment, which is to a large extent controlled by the government. The nature business on one side, the Thayo Colchico side sales were not that good, but the good thing is that we've got good growth in the nicotine API segment. So that's a high level commentary on some of the drivers for the growth and the performance in this quarter. And again, requesting Anandji to talk about some more financial slides.
Regarding the important ratios, the debt equity excluding EPBC has come down to 0.43 during this half year vis-a-vis 0.76 in the last year. Debt-equity ratio with EPBC has come down to 0.63 vis-a-vis 0.99 last year. The FSCR has improved to 3.18. TOL-TNW has come down to 1.69. The interest coverage ratio is just reaching about 4. Now it is 3.93. And further, the current ratio has reached to 1.08. Apart from this, as our CEO has already informed that the India rating has upgraded our rating from A- to A is stable. So this is what is the important ratios. And now over to Rupakji.
Well, thank you, Anandji. I do not have anything else to add. There are a few slides on company overview, which you already have. You can go through. We have already presented them earlier as well. So thank you very much for your time. And we are now open for questions. Is that right, Sanjay?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is on the line of Rohit Sinha from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. And congratulations for a good set of numbers. So a few questions from my side. First of all, if it is possible, that how has been our overall volume growth and value growth in this quarter in each segment, if it is possible to share?
I will cover the main segments, particularly the glycol and the alcohol segment.
That would be...
Glycol, last year, we did say about 47,909 tons of glycol sale. For the half year, we have already done say about 24,808 tons. So we are more or less done about 50% as compared to the last year. Regarding the glycol ether, we have done a sale of 27,858 tons in the last year, while in this half year we have already achieved 19,345 tons. So we are far ahead of as compared to the last year. Regarding the alcohol potable segment, we have done say about 1,76,274 kVL in last year, while in the 6 months we have already covered say about 1,09,004. So in alcohol segment also we are far ahead. So these are the main quantities, or you can say the sales quantity, which we have covered, which we have already achieved in first half, 6 months.
Okay, sir. Thank you for that. And in this energy.
Just to add one thing, that last year there was no EO sale, but this year the JV, we have sold about 9,727 tons EO to JV also. But this segment is totally new segment for us, because in this quarter we have done this much of sale to EO to JV. Thank you.
Okay. And that volume is included what you have given, right?
Your voice is not clear, Rohit.
Yes, sir. That volume, that EO volume is included in this figure what you have shared, right?
EO sale is for the first time in this quarter.
Yeah,
this is the part of the chemicals, yes, correct.
Okay. Thank you. And secondly...
At the same time, see that the... COD and formulation sales obviously is not there in Q2 of this year, which was there in the Q2 of last year. That has been replaced partly by EO sales.
Okay. My second question is on the margin side, and how we should see the margin profile going forward, especially amid this rising crude oil prices and in the spirit segment.
As you know, Rohit, we are in the speculative domain, but nevertheless we have an estimate or a view, and that I will state. See, we believe the kind of commodity price increases that have happened are unprecedented, and these are not systemic structural changes, and so there has to be a readjustment both in terms of ethanol prices as well as packaging material prices, as well as some point in time in the supply chain disruptions, which have also caused increase in commodity prices. Now, we do not know how fast that will happen, but we believe that, in the next 2 or 3 months and beyond, we should be seeing softening of prices. It is very difficult for me to imagine that, 50, 60, 70% increase in commodity prices across is going to be sustained for a long period of time.
And
And just to add into this, Rohit, since the sugar mill production has started, so we hopefully can hope rather that the molasses and the alcohol prices will slightly come down. But let's see what happened.
Yeah, energy prices will definitely come down. You know, coal is not because India has less coal. It is because we just didn't have enough coal available with roughly a 24% surge in terms of the power demand from coal, and we didn't import it because imported coal was very expensive. So a number of factors that will certainly come down. There's no doubt about that.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Awasthi from InCred Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Would like to understand something very basic. So almost all of your products, be it alcohol or the chemicals that you produce, will have a feedstock which will either be ENA or ethanol. So how much ENA or ethanol do you use on a whole to make your products? And how much ENA ethanol do you produce? So basically, I'm trying to understand what is the portion you buy from outside.
Yeah. So I will also take help from my colleagues. But just to give you an overview of the business and the dynamics of alcohol. See, we have two potential sources of ethanol. One is molasses that we can manufacture in-house. And another is imported ethanol that we import, which is corn-based from the US mainly. Depending upon the prices, we have change how much we make and how much we buy. Last year, for example, it made much more sense for us to import ethanol. So at least for the chemical segment, as high as 95% of ethanol was imported. But for the liquor segment, we do not use imported alcohol. We use molasses-based ethanol that we produce, or we may buy grain-based ethanol from the market. Going forward, apart from the options of import or molasses, as you know, we are also putting up grain-based distilleries. So that creates more options for us, both for our potable spirits, that helps us hopefully reduce our cost as well, because if we are buying some grain-based ethanol, that will come down. And also allows us to play with the ethanol dynamics much more. If, for example, imported ethanol prices are much higher, which is the case right now, for example, and grain-based cost is lower, we could divert at least some of it for that use. But in terms of numbers, let me ask my colleague Shuklaji to kind of give you.
We are the biggest, you know, the alcohol consumers in India, and approximately 16,000 tons per month consumption of alcohol for the manufacturing of our chemical products. Besides that, we are using almost 55 lakh liters of ENA for our potable liquors. Some of them are the grain-based, and majority of the alcohol is from the molasses base. See, because of the late, the rains, in basically the highest sugar producing state like UP and the Haryana, the crop is affected, and the sugar mills, which generally used to start in the month of October, which likely to be starting, they have started on the first week of November. Mm-hmm. So we are hoping the good availability of molasses from the first or last week of November, that will be certainly comfortable about our requirement, and not only to requirement, but also we are hoping reducing the price of the basic raw material.
Got it, sir. So once your own distilleries come up, how much of this requirement would be met, rough percentages, by those distilleries?
Means you are talking about the grain distillery.
We approximately 40% would be the requirement will be met by this, the grain distillery. We have the certain commitment of supplying of the ethanol. But by and large, we will be secure 40% in the next financial year, from the start of next financial year, from the generation of our grain-based ethanol.
Noted. Now, given this, and given where we stand today as a country and how the ethanol blending program is happening, and most of the sugar companies are now whoever produces molasses is going to hold molasses and try to convert it themselves into ethanol and sell it to the government, and because that's quite profitable, wouldn't it be more prudent to go out there and set up enough capacity to have 100% captive ENA ethanol supply?
Because that
looks okay.
We are on way, but right now I can't comment the timeline, but we are thinking in that line.
Yeah, thanks, Shuklaji. Yes, you know, we need to very carefully look at the dynamics and then plan in terms of how much of more capacity will be set up, which is grain-based, and we will continue to evaluate based on how the blending program also is taking off.
Why do you say that you require more time and more data study? Isn't the data quite clear and evident in front of you right now? And aren't the prices moving exactly how the data indicated they would move? Because why this question is very important and why I'm failing to understand this is because you are an end user of ethanol, and you being an industry which is the end user of ethanol, and you have the technology know-how to produce it also. And now the government is giving you an opportunity to set up those plants. So why not completely integrate? And what is missing? Like what is the thing which I'm missing right now that, you know, the prices of molasses will crash or ethanol will crash in the future, which the company is indicating?
No, the thing is that, you know, we will also continue to look at the opportunity of buying ethanol if it makes sense. See, ethanol is for three different purposes. And there is a three different level of realization that you happen that happens there. One is for potable spirits, where we only use either our own manufactured or purchased grain-based. That, of course, will become 100% in-house because we'll be producing molasses-based as well as grain-based ethanol. Then there is ethanol that you sell to biofuels. Now, while there is an expectation that there will be a huge requirement of ethanol for biofuels, remember, it is something which needs quite a lot of change in the country as well. Because right now we are at something like roughly 8% blending. The existing vehicles in the country can go up to 10% blending without much problem. But the moment you start to go beyond E10 to E20 blending, you need to make modifications because otherwise your rubber and plastic parts, etc., start to wear down. So we need to see how that is picking up, and we will keep the option open of also if imported or ethanol is cheaper for us to buy, we can always buy that. Huh?
Noted. Understood.
And
so at least for the potable spirits, you're saying you're
making the right point. You're making the right point. We've already sanctioned two projects, and this is something which is an ongoing discussion in our leadership team to see when and how much do we need to invest for more. And as our thinking is a little more refined and we have clarity, at the right point, we will share as well.
Understood. So just from our discussion, what was the point I wish I got to take away? And I would like to clarify before I, you know, take it away so that there's no confusion, that potable spirits will be 100% made by our own produced ENA.
Yes, approximately 97 to 96%. Because in UP, where is our largest stake of in country liquor, and approximately we have share is around 25 to 26%. So, in which we consume around 40 to 45 lakh liters of ENA in every month. For that, government is assuring the availability of molasses. Government is already keeping the provision in the policy to reserve the country liquor molasses. So, for that, we are very much sure that this molasses will be continued. And rest 3 to 4% would be buying from the outside the state grain base, which will be already eliminated once our production will start.
Noted. Understood. So can we assume or can we look forward to margins in this segment, or at least for the potable spirits, given that you will completely backward integrate and the rest of the molasses will be assured by the government, like you said? Can we expect the EBIT margins to go closer to 27 to 30%?
So, right now we are hoping so, but I think once the things will be normalized, because as you know, this month is very crucial as for availability of the raw material for the distilleries. So, we are hoping better margin from the month of December and January.
and a couple of factors which if they move in the direction that we are hoping. One, of course, is we would see softening in hopefully ethanol prices. Second is, having put up our own grain-based plants, we have an option of using it in-house, which will help recovery of margins as well. So both of these factors, if they move the way we are expecting, yes, you should see margin improvement.
Noted, sir. Thank you so much for answering my questions.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor Company. Please go ahead.
Hello? Hello?
Yeah, Saket. We can listen to you.
Namaskar. Yeah, namaskar, sir. And thank you for the opportunity. Sir, firstly, looking at the business model and the current vagaries in the commodity space, sir, how keen are we that these margins are sustainable and even there is a scope for improvement in margins going forward? Just looking at the sustainability part of the story, as you were telling that one of our MNC players has also reduced the offtake of our product because of ESG and other factors. So if you could give us some understanding on how the sustainability and the improvement in margins can happen over a period of time. And also on the power and fuel mix part, sir, you were telling about the imported coal prices being higher and that impacting the margins. So over a period of time, what are the steps we are taking that will be contributing to the margins going forward?
Okay. So first, let me talk about the second point that you raised, which is imported coal prices being higher. I think you picked up one part of what I said, which was impacting Indian coal prices. Indian coal prices went up because of a couple of factors. Number one, demand surge in terms of power, which was 24% higher than last year. And most of the power in India, 60-70%, if I'm not wrong, comes from power-based fuel plants. So the plants had, or the supply chain had not stocked up that much inventory. And coal takes time to mine and then bring it here and so on. The other factor which coupled with this caused a lot of disruption is that in the coal mine areas of central and eastern India, as I mentioned to you, there was probably the worst flooding in the last 120 years. So even the process of getting coal was usually disrupted from these mines. You know, the road, the mines themselves. And the third factor, which you talked about, was generally India also buys a lot of coal from outside, and particularly from Indonesia. And because of the global energy crisis, the Indonesian coal prices had gone up by as high as 300%. So nobody had imagined that all three things will go wrong at the same time, and therefore the Indian buyers of imported coal had stopped buying and had reduced the stocks of that. All three things together led to a surge in coal prices in India and a big supply issue, which fortunately has been by and large, you know, resolved by no major disaster. We know that the coal inventories at power plants came to very, very low levels of 1 to 2 days. But I think those times are over. We are already on the recovery path.
So, sir, my question, my basic understanding is about the sustainability part of the earning and how, what should investors be looking forward going ahead. And, sir, firstly, what would like to congratulate also on the segmented revenues using the refrained ways of reporting the numbers. So, thank you for the same. That gives more clarity. And if on the biopharma part also, if you could explain what is the potential and the reasons why we reported lower numbers on that part. What big opportunity is it going forward? How big we can grow there and its contribution to the top line and the bottom line?
So you are talking about margins of a particular segment or overall?
Yeah, I'm talking about firstly the margin for the total entire basket. How, what steps are we taking to improve the margin? Because when we compare your September 20 numbers and the September 21 numbers, they are almost on a similar trajectory. Although the contribution from the performance chemical has improved significantly and there is a downward trend in the contribution from the potable spirit segment, as you have articulated it in your opening remarks. So going forward, how are things going to take shape if we take the H2 and our preparations on the same? And secondly, it was about the biopharma space. What is the potential of this segment going forward? The margins are on the higher side, but this quarter they have reported lower numbers. So that was my understanding, that the turnover has gone up, but the margins are on the lower side.
Yes, so this was right in my opening remark, that we have done very well in terms of top line, but we don't seem to have done as well in terms of the EBITDA growth. There are a few factors. One factor was, yes, you are right. For example, ethanol and packaging material prices, which impacted the portable spirit segment very highly. The top line in portable spirits has been growing very well, which is roughly a 21% growth. But the contribution actually came down by something like 30%. And I believe that a large chunk of this margin will get recovered, because it is based on what? Energy and ethanol and packaging material prices, which are kind of an all-time high. And the general consensus, I have no authority to conclude that, the general consensus is that these prices will come down. These are not the sustainable commodity prices. That is as far as portable spirits is concerned. As far as the chemicals business is concerned, which is the biggest one for us, you saw that our revenue as well as EBITDA actually went up very well for the first half, with our revenue going up by something like 60% and our EBIT margins going up by roughly 100%. One factor that you need to keep in mind, I mentioned that before, that with the EODs and formulation business going to the JV, our EBITDA margin percentage, obviously, as you people had expected, it has impacted it adversely at the EBITDA level. But where has it impacted us positively? It has impacted us positively at the PAT level. Now, we had something like a 700 crore good margin business which has become part of the JV. What we are doing is sell something like 300 crore worth of ethinoxide to them, which is at only a very nominal margin. So from a percentage point of view, you will see that this actually is a factor which is depressing margins. But a good way to see, and I will not get into those numbers on this call, is actually to add back what is the value which is coming from the EO that we are selling to the JV, which comes at a line below EBITDA. So I responded to you on portable spirits. And as far as the general energy and ethanol costs are concerned, we believe that they are going to soften and help us improve our margins. And as far as the margins based on bio-based products are concerned, my response to that is, look, this is a steady transition which the world is going through. We are seeing increased transactions for bio-based products. As I mentioned to you, that our bio-based glycols, where one of the MNCs for Coca-Cola used to be something like 80% of our bio-based MEG sales, is now possibly about in the range of about 30% of sales, because we have a number of smaller customers who are buying bio-based MEG at better margins. But the Coca-Cola has actually brought it down, not because of ESG reasons as an adverse ESG reason, but because they have chosen to balance their carbon footprint portfolio by using recycled PET, which is also a mandate in the US. In short, bio-based materials will continue to command some premium in the market, but it is not a market which is completely overtaking the food market right now. It's a slow and steady process. From a company perspective, what we need to do is not only bank on greater transaction, traction for bio-based products, but to start looking at more value addition to these products. That, of course, is also something that we are working on. That's not a quarter-to-quarter result that it will influence.
Sir, I was looking for the comment on the biopharma part, the in-nature biopharma. Yes, sir, please.
So, in-nature biopharma, which is a relatively smaller business for us, mainly got impacted because the largest product there that we sell is a product known as thiocolchicoside, which is a muscle relaxant. A lot of those sales were happening to Turkey. And there they have been certain policy changes based on which certain incentives which were given there for the formulations based on thiocolchicoside were withdrawn, which has impacted our margins adversely. We don't think that is going to change immediately. So thiocolchicoside margins can remain depressed. But what we are working on is a number of other extracts like nicotine, which is nicotine extract.
And
and derivatives. So in nutraceuticals, apart from this thiocolchicoside, the major chunk is now being fulfilled by this nicotine and the nicotine derivatives. Whatever the short gap, shortfall we are having in the sales of the thiocolchicoside. Apart from this, we are getting a good margin in the other products and good market with respect to the lutein and the other pharmaceuticals contained or the APIs. So I think in the next quarter or in the coming 6 months, we would have a better sales and a better margin.
So one can conclude that the top. Yes, ma'am. I am just concluding my point and no further question. Just to conclude on this point that last year turnover and margins can be superseded with the current business environment. And in this business, do we have any relations with the other Jubilant Group companies? They are also in the same nutraceuticals business. Are we aligning joint development of any products along with them?
So Jubilant is basically the synthetic drugs manufacturers, and we are basically the natural pharma APIs company. So we don't have any relation with respect to any product level or any collaboration with Jubilant.
Right, sir. And on the margin part, if you could share some light, that will suffice. That so we can look at a better, but H2 would be better than what H1 is. That is what the understanding. Yeah.
That's what Saket, we hope that H2 will be for the NHR Biopharma will be better, and we are taking all the efforts to improve the performance.
Right. Thank you, sir. I come in this and thank you for the
okay, Saket. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Bajrang Bafna from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead. Mr. Bajrang Bafna, your line is in the talk mode. Please go ahead. Mr. Bajrang Bafna. As there's no response from the current participant, we'll move on to the next. That is on the line of Makarantilu from Makarantilu Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for your time and congratulations on getting things done. The point is that, can you hear me?
Yes, please.
Okay. Right now you said that potable alcohol, the requirement is that it will be in-house manufactured. Correct?
Yes.
So how much increase in margin will be there due to this change?
See, first of all, the certain segment which is here around 70%, which is the raw material is already secured by the government. So there should not be any problem. Other segment, as our CEO Rupak sir has already told you that we are going to put up the two grain plants, which certainly we increase our the profitability once we start, probably from the April next year. Third, we have already launched the premium products like Single Lizarva, Amazing, and some of the most the innovative rum. I can't say right now the name because it is under the process. So by launching these premium products, our certainly profit margin will go high. So this is all about the potable segment.
So grain-based distillery will add to our profit margin.
Yes.
Okay. The second thing, last year MEG realization and current year MEG realization, what is the increase in that?
In last year, the MEG realization average price for the whole year was about 73,000 rupees, while in first 6 months it is about 86,000 rupees.
Okay, very good. And it will sustain.
Come again?
It will sustain.
Yeah.
It will sustain. I think Mr. Gurwara can comment, please.
No, I'm sure. I think this can sustain.
This will sustain.
Okay. The third thing is that there is there is one small suggestion before going for a question. The company is doing wonderfully and doing it, everything is dynamic, dynamicism is being shown. Can you, your website also be changed accordingly?
Thank you for mentioning that. It is something that is something that we are working on. We are working on making sure that our digital presence is enhanced and it is representative of what IGL is transforming to be. And I'm happy to get that encouragement and nudge from you. We are working on that as we speak.
Thank you very much. Because I'm a shareholder for last 15 years and the same website is there. So thank you for changing it. And the last thing is that Shakyamuni Sugar. Previously, there was some say that you want to divest in Shakyamuni Sugar. Now the realizations are there. There is a good prospect for sugar industry. Whether we are going forward with this proposal?
You are right. And I would not be able to offer too much details. And those are options that we are evaluating.
Okay. And the only one thing is that QIP, there was 250 crore QIP that has been sanctioned for last so many years. Whether we are going forward with this QIP in near future?
No, sir. That is an enabling resolution which we are always doing from last 8 years.
Correct.
As such, the company is not thinking of raising any QIP funds.
Okay. So the capital will be maintained as it is.
Till now, yes, I will say like that. If tomorrow management decides something else, then I can't comment on that. But still, as of now, there is no inclination to raise any kind of funds from the capital market.
Fantastic. And congratulations and all the best for future. And hope to see wonderful things from the company.
Thank you. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and good afternoon, sir. So the first question is on potable spirit. So we have experienced the input cost inflation, but as I understand, probably that's the only segment which is a pull-driven segment. So we did not take any price hike during the quarter, or is it transitory, increase in cost, and that's the reason we are awaiting once the cost alleviate, we'll take the price hike?
See, as per the government policies, liquor is completely controlled by the government. And we start price increase, the request to the government from the last week of December. Generally, prices of price excise policy will be finalized by the February end. So government will call the suggestions, will evaluate the the packaging cost, raw material cost between the somewhere January, and they will accordingly give the price increase from the February. So we because of peak increase in the packaging materials, so we have already presented our case before the government. And government is seriously thinking. So we hope that next year from the April onward, we will be get price increase with the good bargain. And IFL also, we are going to launch the new products in Delhi with the better margins. And the premium products also in which we have a good margins. So we are hoping a very good price increase in the Q4 and from the Q1 of the next year.
In short, what I have understood is that it is a tedious process, Rohit, to get price increases both in IMFL and country liquor. And that makes it, even if we intend to do it, that makes it a little more time-consuming process.
Right, got it, sir. That was really helpful. So the second question is, now that our both distilleries are probably going to come to operations from March, April onwards, what is the kind of CAPEX plan we have frozen for FY22 and any further plans for FY23-24, given that once these projects are completed, we'll have to look at for newer opportunities. So anything on the drawing board which we are currently working on? Thank you.
Yeah, Rohit, as you said, they are on the drawing board. You know, these projects, obviously, we need to execute. They are big projects. There are obviously some other smaller projects which are in the pipeline. And as we approve them internally, we will share with you all as well. To give you, to answer your question, whether we have frozen a capex for 2022, we may have an estimate, but we have not frozen that number as of now. We are in the process of working on it. Anything else, Bhumeshwar?
Rohit, as already informed in the last quarter also during this call, for the grain distillery, we are already undertaking a capex of say about 325 crores and some miscellaneous capexes for 22. But relating to 22-23, that is all is in process, as Rupak sir has just told. We'll come back to you if there is any major plan for the capexes.
Right, sir. Got it. Thank you so much and best of luck, sir.
Thank you, Rohit.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjesh Jain from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for taking my question. First, on the Carbon Smart, where are we in the process of starting the manufacturing? That's one. Number two, where have we got this technology? Is it in-house developed, or we have licenses from LanzaTech? Where are we sourcing carbon monoxide as of now to commercialize this project? So that's on the Carbon Smart part of it.
Right. So as far as Carbon Smart products are concerned, we have made products here which have been sampled at plant scale. However, the regular commercial sale of these products are expected to start in the next financial year. That is one. The second thing is that as far as the technology is concerned, making carbon smart products has two technologies involved, and that is why there is a collaboration between three companies. The first part of the technology involves converting carbon monoxide from various sources of emissions, big sources of emissions, into carbon smart ethanol, which is not something that we do, which is something that LanzaTech gets done. What we do, and that is where IGL is kind of unique, is convert that ethanol into carbon smart ethylene oxide and other derivatives. So does that answer your question?
Yes, sir, that answers my question. So basically we are into ethanol to EO, while carbon monoxide to ethanol is done by LanzaTech.
Right. So LanzaTech needed us because we are probably one amongst two companies or the only major one who does ethanol to ethylene oxide. And we needed somebody who has carbon smart ethanol for us to be able to convert it into carbon smart ethylene oxide and other derivatives.
We don't intend to manufacture ethanol by licensing the LanzaTech technology?
Not in the pipeline as of now, and I think it is relatively far-fetched. Because what you need to do is you need to set up these kind of technologies and plants together with big generators of carbon monoxide. You know, for example, steel mills or big petrochemical complexes. It is very new right now, and Lenza has kind of made a few tie-ups, and it is now kind of rolling, where we see more and more volumes coming into the market, being getting available next year onward. I don't see in the near future IGL planning to do anything of that kind. We may be adopting completely different technologies, but not these.
Got it. One particular question for this quarter. I think the Reliance had some issues with EO production. There was a shortage of EO in the market. Were we able to supply the EO to the industries which were otherwise consuming it from the Reliance? Had we that opportunity, or in the longer term, India has only one manufacturer for EO. For a downstream chemical, do we plan to sell more EO in the market? Are we looking at that positioning?
Just to answer one question, we have not so far been selling ethylene oxide into the market. We have only been consuming it in-house.
Right.
However, Reliance has you know, they don't have an EO problem as such, as far as my understanding is concerned. They have
no, the last quarter they had the shutdowns because of the repair and maintenance.
So these are temporary issues where there is a lag, and there may be some opportunity for now our joint venture to supply some ethoxylate. But I would not see this as a significant opportunity to start selling more ethoxylate. The Reliance also plans it out with their customers, and they have different plants where they schedule their shutdowns.
Got it. So we don't intend to sell EO in the open market. That will continue to remain.
We don't have any opportunities relevant to us where we can sell ethylene oxide. If we do, obviously we'll let you know.
Got it. That's it from my side. Thanks for answering my question.
Thank you, Mr. Jain.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bajrang Bafna from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, Bafna, please go ahead.
Sir, just to congratulations for good set of numbers. So if we, see the, chemical segment, despite our transfer to JV business, we have been able to maintain margins because last year, perhaps we are not supplying to the JV, and this time we are supplying some material to JV at lower thin margins. But despite that, we have been able to maintain margins. So my humble submission is that if I understand your business correctly, it is dependent on raw material like ethanol, and ethanol prices ups and downs, create some sort of relative margin pressure on your company, either on the upside or on the downside. So for us, it is better to understand from a contribution perspective that what sort of contribution per ton that you are going to, make in the chemical division. So, and the similar thing is equally important for your liquor business, where also the raw material price increase and decrease will create, either upward or downward pressure on your top line. So your percentage margin is immaterial to look at, that is how perhaps I have understood your business. So for us, the most important factor is the contribution margin, which is the per ton basis that you are going to make. And if that is showing us an upward trend, then perhaps your value addition or your value maximization strategy is working. So if you could report, these numbers, though you have given the volume numbers, but if that come in the PPT directly, it will be really helpful, the past trend that you have reported and going forward. So that's an humble submission. And what is your take on the thought process that probably, I am having at this point of time. So, most of the chemical companies, make us learn that how to look at the business, because this sort of, raw material movement or the end product movement, will keep happening. But if you are able to pass on your, increase in raw material cost to the end consumer, then hopefully, the margin trajectory or the absolute margin trajectory will be intact. So some take on that will be really helpful, sir.
So, Bajan, thank you for your question and also for asking us the maximum question so far overall in the last 3 or 4 months. But I heard you out. There is some advice and suggestion in your comment. And, of course, we will look at it internally and see how we can make some of those parameters a part of the presentation that we make. And if you need anything more specific, I'm sure you can be connected to Anand ji and we can have a discussion.
Okay. No, sir, I was just trying to understand, from your side also, that is it the right way to look at the company, or, just look at the relative, operating margins that you report, or, the absolute contribution that you make on the per ton basis. So if you could clarify, that will be really helpful. So it is for the entire...
To be honest, there is no one right way. I think the good way is to keep looking at both. And we look at margins, but internally for some of our business, we also look at per kilo or per kg or per unit, per ton, whatever you say. I don't have those details to share with you right away, but you made some valid points into how we should be looking at our business. I think we should be looking at both, and one is more critical in some segments and one is more relevant in some other segments. That's all.
Got it. And on the, bio-MEG or the glycol-based ether side, where you indicated that there is some sort of, you know, Coca-Cola has taking a bit less from us right now because of their own commitments to the other side. So overall, you know, if you see that, you know, the world is moving towards biochemistry or the green chemistry, so some small customers that we have got, but in terms of trajectory, do we see, you know, the demand for this ether-based glycols or this bio-MEG or maybe some other chemistry that might you enter into future, you know, will be on the rising side? Those symptoms are clear in the market on that side on a sustainable basis?
Yes. The short answer to your question is definitely yes, but it is a slow and a steady process. The macro trend will not change. There may be short-term blips here and there, and it is also seen in terms of the bio-MEG traction that we have. From one big customer to probably 5, 7, 8, 12 different, more than 10 different customers now, which actually from a margin perspective are even slightly more profitable. So the traction is there, but it's a slow process, and that macro trend, as you and I have heard enough about, is going to be that way. And we will continue to evaluate other opportunities for value-added bio-based ingredients.
Okay, and just my last question on the liquor business side. We are seeing that, you know, the volume upside that is coming up in your business. But in the IMFL side, you know, which is more profitable as compared to country liquor, which is again dominated by, you know, lower margins as compared to IMFL. So on a progressive basis, you know, maybe in next 1 or 2 years or maybe 3 years kind of time frame, how do you see, you know, that both contribution moving, you know, from a company perspective?
Good question you have asked. See, as far as the IMFL prospect is concerned, as we have already told you that Delhi is going to open the market, and we are very aggressively pushing our products, basically our premium products in these markets to gain the maximum advantage of the situation, which is the demanded supply gap in Delhi. Second thing, we are going to expand our market in the nearby states like Chandigarh, Punjab, Rajasthan, Delhi, and UP, where is the maximum presence. So regarding the this country liquor segment, which is our major stake, I already told you that the price increase request is pending before the government, and which will be considered by month of January and February. So we are expecting good profit in the next year.
Okay, and as far as the trajectory goes, you know, for the MFL and country liquor, do you see that percentages in the overall revenue for MFL is going to move up over next 2-3 years kind of time frame in terms of higher growth in IMFL business?
We are well prepared, and we are confident that our business will be increased by more than 100% in next year or next to next year 2022-23.
I think we in general this year as well as next year, our assessment is that we'll see good growth in IMFL.
Got it. Thank you and best of luck.
Thank you, Vajangi. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rupak Saraswat for his closing comments.
Yeah, thank you. So on behalf of my colleagues here at the Noida Office of Ideas, I would like to thank all of the participants who joined us and also showed so much interest in our presentation and asked us some very interesting, some of them difficult questions. No, thank you. We all learned from it. Thank you very much and have a good evening, everybody. Thank you from this side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.